We're doing the Droshot HaRan, and the Ran had posed very powerful questions. He said, being that Yaakov is described as this whole person, and Esav is the hunter, and he is the wild one, so then, how come Yaakov, this whole person, wants something that's not his? Why does he come and say, I want your firstborn? And secondly, he said, how come he is taking something that's so honorable as Esav's rights to the firstborn with such a small price, even though Esav seems to be foolish to accept it, but how could Yaakov trick him out of it? So he says, even if you say that the sale of the firstborn was not a monetary issue, and in those days the rights to the firstborn did not mean that he gets double the inheritance, but at the end of the day, it was some form of honor, and it doesn't seem to make sense that Esav should give up whatever honor he was entitled to as the firstborn for a bowl of soup, for a bowl of lentils. And even if we go with the commentaries who say that they paid a lot of money, that Yaakov gave him a lot of money aside from the bowl of lentils, nonetheless, it seems a little strange that why did Yaakov make the sale in such a form? You know, if someone comes to you, they always sell all these things in the Tachana Merkazit. Just buy a razor, a shaver, a hair cutting machine. You ask yourself, wait a second, I'd go to a respectable store where I have a warranty and I know I can come back and I'm going to pay you. Yeah, I know it's a bargain, but maybe it won't work when I plug it in the house. It's not a bargain if I got nothing for my money, right? You don't know what you're getting for the money. So ordinarily, when you have an important business transaction, you get someone, an intermediary, and you work out a deal. How come when Esav's coming in off the field, and he's tired, and he says, you know, I got to eat, Yaakov says, oh, you're hungry? Good, let's make a deal. So even if you'll say you paid him a lot of money, that's not a fair way to make a deal. You want to make a deal. You sit down with lawyers. You figure out what's a fair deal. So we have to understand what's going on here. That's where we left off last time. Umashi yishev zeh. So the Ran says, but if you want to understand this, you have to begin with Humash Amu Rabotenu Zal Bebaba Batra. Ah, we're up to page Lamed in the Shalem edition, page Mem Aleph.
Mem
Hey in the Mishor edition, and Pei Aleph in the Masadar of Cook edition. Umash Yishev Ze Umash Amu Rabotenu Zal Bebaba Batra. In order to understand this, we have to begin with what our sages taught us in the Talmud and tractate Baba Basra. Shoto Ayom Et Avraham. That was the day that Avram passed away. Uvishel Yaakov Adashim Lavot Avet. Yaakov was cooking the lentils as the first meal that we give a person in mourning. Ve'isav lefi anireh lo haya b'ptirat Avram klal, lo damai no lemotov, lo nishbar libo lev liyitzchak. And Esav, there's the funeral of his grandfather going on. He doesn't shed a tear. His grandfather dropped dead and his father's in mourning. Esav couldn't care less. Aval baza lehim. But Esav was out hunting. He laughed at them. Kachasal lev bosed rachav. Like a person who has no heart. Like a person who mocks his ways. Vaya basadeh mitasek b'shig'onotav. And he was out in the field hunting. Doing his thing, having his fling. Gam kasher kara mikreo lavo al habayit umatza Yaakov mitasek b'avrat aviv. And even as it happens, he comes and he sees Yaakov's preparing the meal for their father. It's his father too. His father's in mourning. Yaakov's preparing the meal. Lo esev elea kamishpat lanut velenachem. Esav didn't say, gee, Yaakov, you're right. I'll come with you. I'll try to comfort my father too. Aval amar kederech zolelim. But Esav sees there's a meal being prepared for his father. For his father who just lost his father, who lost the grandfather. And what does Esav think? That soup looks good. Halitainina, could you give me that soup? What kind of chutzpah? Yaakov just made that soup for Yitzchak. And he knows it. And he knows it's not an ordinary meal. It's a meal because Yitzchak lost the grandfather, Avram. Kilomar, Esav was saying, Yeftach pi v'shpoch harbe letocha. Esav says, look, I'm hungry. I'm going to open my mouth. You just pour some in and I'll keep guzzling it down. Kmosh katav Rashi Zales. Rashi over there explained, Halitaini is a term that we use about force-feeding animals. Hal'ata is when you force-feed the animal. You take a stick and you shtup in more and more food down their throat. So that's hal'ata. So what does Esav mean? Hal'iteini, please shove it down my throat. What Esav means is, I'll open up my mouth and you just pour it down. Uvirotoy Yaakov makle avotav al zeh inyan azar. And when Yaakov saw that Esav was deriding his forefathers in such an unusual way, kine meod sheyirashem kvod Yitzchak alav yoter mima sheyirashem al Yaakov. He was very upset that Esav should be given the title, he's the continuation of Yitzchak. He said, this is the continuation of my father, this bum. He's sitting there and Esav walks in, he sees what's going on, and when Yaakov sees this, he says, wait a second, why should our family have the reputation that our eldest, the leader of the family, the head of the household, is Esav? Why should he be the continuation of the name of Avraham's family? Ki kvod ha-bechor ha-latzeir u-mitzad yod ha-av mechuke v'nirsham yoter alav ki u-reshit ono. The reason why the younger respect the older is because we say the older is more of a continuation of the father. He has the father stamp on him more than anyone else. And you'll notice that in life. Take a look at most families. The firstborn is closest to the parents. He's the closest to being similar to the parents. Other kids can try to tag along, but it's not the same. The relationship parents have with their firstborn is sometimes like a partner. It's like one of theirs. Everyone, the firstborn, he's responsible for the other ones, and in many ways he continues the ways of the parents more than anyone else. And the Ran gives us an insight here. Why do we honor the firstborn? Because he is more of a representation of the parents than any other child. The firstborn in general.
Oh, okay.
And that's why the younger one has to honor the older one. We learn that out from Kabeda Savicha. When the Torah says honor your father, we derive also honor your biggest brother. And being that Esav was here deriding his forefathers, how could Esav be considered the head of the household, the continuation of the family, more than Yaakov? And that's why when Yaakov saw Esav's evil ways, Yaakov said to him, "Acharei asher anochi ma'ale avotai al rosh tifati, v'chayom ani mityaches aleim yoter mimcha." Yaakov says, look, you don't seem to care that Avram died, and you don't seem to care that Yitzchak is mourning him. So you seem to be leading your own life. I'm the continuation of the family. When I sense that I lost Grandpa Avram, so I'm making a meal, I care about it. You don't care, Esav. So then, Micha Chayomet Bechot Chali. I am more of a continuation of the family. Sell me the rights to the firstborn. Kloma sheye yachsenu lavenu bayimim abeim ki yachsenu ayom. Ki en min haruui shetariach kol ayom rea chasadeh v'anuchi olech b'ikvot avinu. V'chasher yaleh al ruchachat itnase lomar asher alecha nikra shem avinu yoter mimeni. Yaakov said, how are you treating the family now? They don't exist, right? You don't care about dad. You don't care about the grandfather. So let's continue this relationship. When Yaakov says, sell me the rights to the firstborn, what Yaakov is saying, if this is the way you behave, if you don't care that Avram died, and you don't care that Yitzchak is in mourning, so then do me a favor. I don't want you to come back to me in 10 years or in 20 years and say, this is my family. You're part of the Esav family, Yaakov. I'm the firstborn. No, I'm not going to accept that. I want you to sell to me the rights. You can't come here and mock the day that grandfather dies, the day that Yitzchak's sitting Shiva. You mock it. You don't care. You see, I'm making food for Yitzchak. You want it. Yaakov says, okay, so you don't care. If you don't care, then give me the rights. Then I'm the continuation of the family. That was Yaakov's claim. He said, if today you walk in stinking from the field, you knew Avram died, but you didn't care. You went out hunting anyways. You know I'm preparing food for Yitzchak. I'm continuing the way of the family. But you're not. You're not even striving to. You're not even connected. You don't come to the funeral. So one day you'll come to me and tell me I'm the head of the family. You're not the head of the family. Sell me those rights. You don't want to have anything to do with Avram and Yitzchak. So you don't have the right to say that you're the continuation of Avram and Yitzchak. ועשיו התבונן בעצמו מעשהו אשר בחר בו, ואמר, הנה אנוכי הולך למות, ולמה זה לבחורה? Esav looked at himself, looked in the mirror, and said, I'm going to die. What do I need the rights to the firstborn? Inyano, what Esav was saying was, שהטובים ילכו לעולם בדרך אבותיהם הטובים, כמו שאמרו רבותינו ז"ל, על יניח אדם אומנות אבותיו. Because good people usually go in the ways of their good forefathers. Our sages said a person should always take up his forefather's trade. וכל זה שיהיה נקרא שם אבותיהם עליהם, because they should continue their forefather's reputation. Everyone knows Cohen's shoes is the best place to buy shoes, so it's a good business to go into to continue Cohen's shoes. Take on your parents' business, because if they have a good reputation, you're continuing and you benefit from it, everyone benefits from it. ומטבע הולך שלא בדרך אבותיו, יהיה עניינו בהפך, וישכח שמם עד כמעט יאבד זכרם. And the nature of someone who goes the exact opposite from his forefathers is that he makes their name lost. He'll destroy their reputation. If the son takes over and he's a cheat, he brings in poor quality goods, he's going to ruin the reputation of the father and no one's going to remember the forefathers. And that's why Esav said, "Hinani lo bachati lalech bedarchei avotai." Esav says about himself, he says, I'm not going in their footsteps. Asher tifartam lashevet bayit, my forefathers, they sat in the house. They developed, they were settled people. אבל אהבתי להיות לימוד מדבר. I like traveling. I'm a man of the world. הולך על מעונות הריות לצוצייד. I like going into lion's den and seeing if I could take him down. מבצע כי יקרא עלי שם אבותיי ולא דרכי דרכיהם. What do I need to be called a descendant of Avram and Yitzchak? I'm not continuing their way of life. What are people going to say? Ooh, Esav the hunter comes from Avram the shepherd. What's the connection? Avram was famous, he was a fair and honest shepherd. Yitzchak was famous, he was a fair and honest shepherd. I, Esav, I'm not going in their way. Hinei anochi olech lamut. I like having thrills. I go in dangerous places where I might die. They didn't live their lives that way. I live my life in a way that's totally different than theirs. I gain nothing from their reputation. It's like a guy who's going to be a mobster. And his grandfather was a rabbi. So he says, I'll change my name. What do I need to hold on to that name? I gain nothing from it. In the mob families, that's no honor. If I change my name to, I don't know what, Capone, then they'll respect me. But if I come in with a name like, Eliashiv, no, okay. Eliashiv the gangster, it's no honor. So that's what Esav says. You know, the type of life I'm leading, I gain nothing from being the continuation of Avram and Yitzchak. You're right. Yaakov says it, Esav says it. Yaakov ra mechira et habchora leboshto v'chlimato. Yaakov looked down at Esav and said to himself, you know, Esav is not only going to be embarrassed, he's going to say, what kind of bum am I? My grandfather Avram was appointed head of the UN. The whole world valued Avram for what he was. My father Yitzchak was valued by whole empires for being a pious person. And I say I'm not continuing their footsteps. Yaakov was aware that one day Esav might turn around and say, I was crazy. V'zeu shamar, and that's why Yaakov tells Esav, Hishave'a li chayom, promise me like the day, just like today, the way your attitude is today. You want to have nothing to do with your heritage. You're your own man. I want you to promise me that you're not going to turn back on that. ולא רצה זה למען יעשר עשיו בזה מהירת לנפשו, מהירתו לנפשו, כי איש כמוהו לא יעשה הוא נדב לא שבועת יסר. The truth is, who's he talking to? You're talking to a mobster. You tell him, are you going to pay me back? The guy says yes. You tell him, promise? The guy says yes. Now what's his promise worth exactly? So why is Yaakov telling Esav, promise me that the sale is a valid sale? What's Esav's promise worth? Esav doesn't care to turn back on his promise. Our sages say that on that day, Esav committed five sins. He raped, he murdered, he denied God's existence. So one of the sins Esav did on that day was he denied God's existence. So who's to take him to task if he turns back on his vow? When we take a vow, what we're saying is, I know God is watching, and I am taking responsibility to keep my word, and God, so to speak, is my collateral. That's why if one transgresses one's vow, it's considered a tremendous sin. It's like almost like denying God's existence. Avaliot roe Yaakov mekom ha'iru b'dvar ha'mechira. But being that Yaakov saw that Esav might have room to come with claims over the sale, ki b'chorat av ki Yitzchak lo yishakel kesef mechira, because technically Esav was giving up tremendous rights to continue the reputation of Avram and Yitzchak. That's something that has immeasurable value. רצה לקיים דבר המחירה בשבועת עשיו לבא להיזקק אל עבוד אשר לא המשפט אם יבוא לערער עליה. He wanted the vow so that if Esav wants to come and make claims, no one would listen to his case in court. Yaakov wants the promise for his own banking, not because he thinks Esav's going to stick to his vow. גם כי משפטי האומות עד היום לחזק הקניינים ושעבוד אשר להם חולשה בצד מה כשישבע המשבט והמקנה. You see, even today, they make people take vows. You come to court, they place your hand on a Bible, and they make you take a vow. Why? Because even in the courts, there's a certain value to a vow. And Yaakov knew, if it ever hit court, Yaakov would be able to say he promised. So the promise would have a certain amount of weight in court. So we started answering the question. We're going to have to pause here. We have one more paragraph, but we'll pause here and we'll pick up here next week. So the Ran explained that Yaakov's purchase of the firstborn was really because of the way he saw Esav behaving, and Yaakov and Esav both recognized that Esav was not the one to continue in Yitzchak's footsteps, and that it was a mockery for him to continue the reputation. The rights to the firstborn in those days was the rights to be known as the head of the family, the continuation of the forefathers, being that Esav says, I'm going a totally different route, and Yaakov says, yup, you're going a totally different route. They were both in agreement that Yaakov should take that reputation, that right to the firstborn, and not Esav.
So, no, I